Moncrief on News Talk.
Now manifesting themselves into your heart, Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley, to answer all your questions.
Hello.
Here's your first one. I've been going out with my new boyfriend for 3 years. We've always had a very honest and frank relationship. Early on, we discussed exes and fantasies and what we thought was the nature of a successful relationship and all that. One of the founding principles of the relationship was that we always be honest with each other, no matter how awkward or painful it would be. No white lies, no obvious omissions. I really think that for the most part, this policy has been a major success. Sometimes I find out stuff I'd rather not know, but I've always known where I stand. One thing that came from this is that we both decided it was fine to look at attractive people or even be sexually attracted to them. That's just natural. It's not about what you think, it's about what you do. Neither of us have any acceptance for cheating in any way. However, since this particular conversation, I think this has loosened something in him. He looks at so many other women when they walk by. I've mentioned it sort of jokingly before, and he just sort of brushed it off by saying, "That's testosterone for you." But I'm finding, I don't know if that's the way he talks, but I'm finding it unsettling. I know he would never cheat, and this openness has been the bedrock of a great relationship, but for the first time, I feel like it's gone a little too far. I'm not comfortable with him looking at other women all the time. I've thought about asking him to cut it out, but am I being a hypocrite if I do that? Am I ruining the special thing we have? How do I fix this without looking like I'm moving the goalposts to suit myself?
I read this a few times and I still don't know what the problem is. I still do not understand what her problem is. Her husband looks at women. I mean, what's the issue? She says, "I know he would never cheat." So what's the problem? I'd imagine most men look at attractive women. Most straight men would look at attractive women in the same way as most straight women would look at attractive men.
Oh, I watch Kylie Minogue all the time.
What?
Sorry,
you know.
Yeah. Just as a point of order.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. So, you know, I mean, people look at people who are attractive. Like the same way as you'd look at a nice garden or a nice piece of art. Like, oh, that's lovely. Doesn't mean you're going to do anything. And she's already said that he's not going to cheat. So I think this woman needs to calm down. Like if she wants this relationship to continue being special.
My impression is they're out having dinner and his head's on a swivel looking at every other woman in the room except her.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Now, I think, might that, say
I think that she thinks...
What? Yeah. Do you know something? Now, if he's doing that, he's looking at all women. There's not that many really attractive women. The same way there's not that many really attractive men around that we make your head go around on a swivel in a restaurant.
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, maybe he's looking at all women.
Maybe he's looking at all women.
And he's got his little scorecard.
I can visualise a kind of behaviour that... that somebody like the guy in this scenario feels he's being given permission under the guise of honesty and openness to just be a bit of a dick about, you know, like
do you
the
think
way
that's a bit of a dick.
I don't. Yeah, it's about respect.
It's exactly. It's about respect. The you thing know, is, all straight men look at women.
Yeah.
The whole trick about with maturity comes the ability to don't get caught doing it.
Yeah.
You have to be sneaky about it. That's the whole point.
Okay.
You know that internet meme where it's the picture of the boyfriend holding the girlfriend's hand and she's kind of looking horrified while he's whoa at this other girl walking in the other direction. The reality is that the reaction of the guy to the good looking girl is hashtag normal and, you know, whatever it is. But the disrespect he's giving to the person that he's supposed to be in a relationship is not normal and it's not acceptable and it's gaslighting to pretend that that's okay. If you want to be in an open relationship and even, actually, by the way, in an open relationship.
Hang on. I do not understand this. So what you both are saying as men, right?
Yeah.
What you're both saying is it's okay for him to look at other women, that's normal. As long as he does it real subtly and not overtly.
Yes.
Which is baloney, right?
And rubbing it in her face.
No.
It's about the respect for... Like, I do see what you're saying. You're saying there's a certain inherent deceit in that whole thing about, like, you know, would it not be better if everybody was open about who they find attractive? But there's two competing things going on there. There's the honesty on one side, and then there's just the protection and the respect for the relationship that you're in at that moment. And I think that by not acknowledging that you're... interest or your urges can't be subliminated in favour of respecting your partner. I think that's kind of weird, isn't it? Do you think that's weird?
I don't know. I'm honestly baffled. I don't know because I'm trying to imagine a scenario where the man you're with as a woman is having, as you said, his head going around on a swivel all the time, looking at all these women, and maybe go, as you said a minute ago. And okay, that
when
would
it start annoying you?
When that happened.
Yeah, or so that's what the point is.
All the time. But I think if you see, I don't know, maybe I have much higher standards than you do.
Or lower standards.
Yeah. I wouldn't see as many men who I'd think, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Like, men obviously, is he just looking at all women? Going, rawr, rawr.
I would imagine he is, but it's a bit like having a conversation with somebody, you know, and the person you're talking to is looking around to see if there's somebody better to talk to.
It's exactly that. It's like, imagine I'm talking to you and my eyes are over your shoulder looking at something hashtag more interesting.
You do that all the time.
Because there is something more interesting over your shoulder, Barbara. Yeah. That's different. That's completely different.
They're just being honest in their relationship.
Yeah, you know, I'm open and frank and not listening to you.
My dog does that. Do you know when I talk to the dog?
Men are dogs, Barbara.
He doesn't look in my eyes. He looks over the top of my head. I'm always wondering what he's looking at. I think he can see
your auras.
That's nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, No, it's not. I just wanted to leave a gap there.
Okay,
Barbara's psychic dog.
We will be employing Barbara's dog to come and do readings for people on air.
That'd be great.
One woof for yes, two woofs for no.
Oh, God.
So you think she's making a mountain out of a molehill?
She's making a mountain out of a molehill. I'm trying to think even, have I ever seen a man do that? And I actually haven't. So, maybe it does. I mean, our listeners will tell us. Maybe it does happen that men do the whole swivelly around all the time thing. But I think the odd time looking at somebody and even saying, oh, God, she's gorgeous, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Because somebody texts in, just because that guy is on a diet doesn't mean he can't look at the menu. But there is no menu. That's the point.
But a lot of people kind of... Excuse me. A lot of people pretend that you know, the ultimate honesty is just going around going, oh, she's hot. You know, it's just boring. The reality is that the girlfriend here is going, I don't care who you find attractive. As long as you're honest with me directly, I don't want to hear about it. Stop making it a performance for me.
But she hasn't said he's making it a performance.
Obviously she's noticing it. And there seems to be a distinct uptick.
Actually, can I roll this back a little bit? Because I did underline the bit where she said, you know, one of the founding principles of the relationship, they'd always be honest with each other. No white lies, no obvious omissions. I always think that's not really a great idea.
No, and it's not even vaguely workable.
No, it's not. So I think that's where her trouble started.
That's where her trouble started, because she is being really strict to some kind of moral code that it is, in effect, causing her hurt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like her own kind of worldview, the way that she wants her relationship to be, isn't helping her. And I think she needs to just turn around and go, listen, just reel your neck in for 10 while you're in my company.
Yeah.
I just don't want to know about it. I don't want to see it. I trust you that you're not going to do anything, but it just annoys
his own
me.
Game.
Well, I don't think that's going to work.
Oh, well, then there's not that many good-looking guys. Apparently, this problem can be fixed with metaphor. Roscommon Man says, just because you're tied to the porch doesn't mean you can't bark at the cars going by. I know, Barbara, it's a bit disrespectful to the girlfriend to have his head turning while they're out together. And someone else says, ha ha, yes, you totally got caught yourself out there, Sean. Get away with it. That's the only difference. I think Barbara is dead right. You and Declan are being totally hypocrites. You should see Declan out in the office there, undressing everyone with his eyes. Won't hook you straight in the eye at all.
Listen, they can't even make eye contact because they can tell from my face.
Can I say, I love that texture. Yeah. Thank you for that.
I've been in my job for the last 6 years and it is challenging and enjoyable, but I do wish I was on more money. I recently met with HR and asked about a raise or a change of title, as I've really grown into my role and wanted something to reflect this. I was told there was no budget for this and there would be no change this year. Then a few weeks ago, we were out with colleagues and friends, and as one of the girls was leaving the office, she announced that her new job was paying her significantly more and she was looking forward to the pay raise. The thing is, she and I were doing the same role and she was looking forward forward to the pay raise. The thing is, she and I were doing the same role and the figure she named was 10 grand more than one I'm on now. So this means that for the past 5 years, I've been sitting beside somebody doing exactly the same job and they've been paid at least 10K more a year than I have. And she's off now with another 30K pay rise in the new role. wow, what kind, where do you work?
Yeah.
I feel like such a fool. I know how hard it is to negotiate. Should I have been turned down for a pay rise? I'm so angry and resentful. What should I do? Should I confront HR?
You're great at these ones now, Declan. Off you go.
Off you go.
Am I?
Yeah, you're always yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
But well, the first mistake this person has made is thinking that being in the workplace is working in a place that is fair and equitable and everybody getting what they deserve. And it doesn't work like that. She's thinking that because she's doing exactly the same job as Blonde is there, that she's going to get paid the same automatically. Now, there are certain kinds of workplaces where that works. They have grades and everybody is very above board about how much you're earning. And you go through various stages of wage increments and everybody knows what everybody else is earning, and that's far more equitable. But in the kind of private sector, it tends to be a little bit more loose, shall we say. And a lot of it is down to the idea that really the workplace, like all of capitalism, works off the basis that it's about power and influence, negotiation. The woman here thinks that she's great at negotiating because she went in and asked. But she took no for an answer, and that's the first mistake that she made. And the second mistake that she made was not already having fully awareness of what's going on around her. If she's taken by surprise about what the people on the same level are earning. Now, I know there's a lot of privacy and a lot, that's one of the things that they do. They use privacy and kind of secrecy around earnings to play off people on the same level off each other, because if you keep it quiet how much you're earning, then the whole grade, shall we, doesn't know that they're being undervalued, and therefore the company itself makes the money. So that's one of the kind of the lack of collective bargaining in that respect is the big mistake of a lot of people working in the private sector. But then the next stage is that not knowing that when you're going in for a discussion about a pay rise, that it isn't a clap on the back and everybody going, well done, thank you so much for your service, and yeah, you're right, it's about time, you know, that your contribution to the organisation in the past is reckoned. Business works on a day-to-day looking forward basis. It doesn't care what happened in the past. So if you're walking into a meeting looking for a pay rise, don't be going in going, you know, last year and the year before. You need to be talking about the future. You need to give them a reason why they need you to be in that position going forward, and that you have a plan for yourself, you know, a career plan that may or may not include them, because it is a negotiation. And one of the strongest parts of negotiation is having a value for yourself and knowing that you have that worth. If you're uncertain about the worth that you have in the role that you're playing, then of course you're accepting, you're satisfied with the position that you have in the organization. Why would they pay you more to do a job that you're actually happy being paid?
See, that was very good, wasn't it?
That was very good.
It was very good. Very well thought out.
Because the drag queen unions. Yeah. The unions for drag queens are, you know, we've been through it all, you know, we work for peanuts.
That was hard experience.
And what if the answer is, well, Mairead was just 10 times better than you, so good luck.
At negotiating, but that's the other part of it, is that sometimes people do make excuses for individual skills being, people are better at certain things.
Yeah.
You might all be functioning on the same role and acquitting your KPIs or whatever they are at the same level, but some people are just better at making friends with, you know, HR, for example, or whatever it is, because there's a lot of politics involved. There's a lot of gaming the system involved in, you know, getting the most out of the situation and moving up ambition, you know, power grab, and all that stuff is involved.
Yeah,
and
no, genuinely,
it's not a nice game, but unfortunately people play it.
Genuinely, that was very good. And genuinely, I totally agree with you about negotiation and how you should approach negotiation. However, I do have a big issue with, and I mean, you mentioned it, with the secrecy, that exists in companies around people's earnings.
Now, they are bringing in, the EU's bringing in regulations about that, should become law by next June.
Well, that's good, because I think there should be, no problem in performance-related pay. In other words, Mary's doing the job better than John, so Mary's getting an extra $5,000 a year or $10,000 or whatever than John, because they can look at Mary's work and they can see that she is providing better value for money, if you like.
The metrics that they're based on are fair, because often everything is gameable.
But you see,
that's
when you don't have transparency, nobody knows what's going on. And that means you're negotiating in the pitch black dark.
Yeah.
And that is a huge problem. But I agree with you. I think, you know, that this person who wrote it needs to revisit the negotiation. But I also think that before they do that, they should have a chat with this former colleague who's now moved on, and explain why they want to know. But just try and find out what was her progression through pay increases, where she ended up earning $10,000 more than this person did, so that you have that ammunition when you go back in. But I do, I firmly believe, and I remember my very first job was working in a travel company, and at the we got paid very little because we had great perks. And at the end of the almost the first year, the Christmas bonuses were coming out, and when you were earning diddly squat, the Christmas bonus was like a big deal, even though it wasn't huge, but it was very important. We were all excited, and I remember myself and another colleague, we both started on the same day, we both got a letter from the boss saying, you're not entitled to a Christmas bonus because you haven't worked quite a full calendar year. But here's a little present. And we got like diddly squat, and I lost the plot. Now, I was there just, we were there just on the cusp of being here. Went in and fought it, and Christmas bonuses were issued to us a week later. So I do think you have to be prepared to stand up and to be assertive if you're sure you are doing a good job, and if you're sure you're providing good value for money. But I definitely think that
different personality types are better at that kind of thing. And sometimes you might be in a role where you're really, really good at the role that you're performing, but you're just not very good at negotiating or arguing or standing up for yourself. And a lot of organisations
thrive off
that particular thing, and it is unfair, and it means that sometimes chancers, people who are, you know, delusional or, you know, narcissists are really good at getting more stuff for themselves. Yeah. Because they
but
just,
I do
they
think
have
it's
the
something
balls to do that,
that. Most of us would feel, I'd prefer not to have to do this. None of us would relish having to do this. Very few people would relish. But I do think you have to force yourself to speak up for yourself and be your own advocate.
But even in the narrative of like, you know your worth, ask for what you're worthy of. If you're a delusional narcissist, you're going to, you know, automatically you've got an advantage.
So,
you know, but you've got an advantage of actually having the balls to go into the situation and go, I want to pay rise. And sometimes, you know, because of the secrecy around wages, but also because of the way in which the competition within the workplace works, sometimes it is the person who asks first who gets, and then the person who asks second can't get because the resources have already been sucked up by the first person. Yeah. So there's always excuses
but
for reasons
why. But
that's
again why there really should be transparency, so that that can be seen by everybody.
I also do think though that in the end of the day, looking for this direct equivalence between everybody, saying everybody's the same, is never going to work.
No,
because there's always going to be a reason why I'm better than you.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, that's one of those times where all the texts that come in, everyone agrees with the two of you. Consensus all around the country.
Great. Fantastic.
My husband has taken to reading in bed a lot. Bed used to be our place where we would have great chats, great sex and great laughs. But now it's become a library. To be honest with you, I tiptoe around the bedroom because the atmosphere is so quiet. He sits up in bed, usually with a large hardback history book, focusing intently. The books have become part of the bed, and some of them are so large that they actually take up valuable real estate in our small double. Our bed used to be this exciting place where the night held possibilities. I wish we could get this back. I've tried to coax him out of his books, but he will chat with me briefly before returning to the book. Or, and this drives me mad, he will pause when I interrupt him, put a finger on the line so he doesn't lose where he's at on the page. I feel I'm secondary to the books. I thought about bringing a book ban into the bedroom, but I don't want to create a row. How can I get him to change?
Oh no, a book ban. I mean, reading in bed is one of life's greatest pleasures.
It is. Indeed it is.
It really is. There's nothing like settling in to a nest of pillows under the duvet with a really good book, especially now at this time of year and going into the autumn and the winter. So please, I would say to this woman, don't take this pleasure away from him. However, I mean, reading large hardback books in bed, I can see that being a bit, because that's like, they're actually hard to read when you're in bed, especially as you start to slide down.
It's like almost exercise as well, holding
and
them up.
And you have to hold them up, And so it's I can understand. But I mean, I'm not sure if the problem, if he has multiple hardback books on the bed, is that what's causing the problem with the real estate? Is that why, you know, I mean, one book shouldn't be taking up too much room in the bed.
Like he flakes out on his massive history of the Roman Empire, and takes up half the bed.
Yeah. I mean, I would then have some sympathy and say, he's got to, if he has, I visualised he's got one book, but he's two, three more on the bed. Well, then they need to move off on the floor or onto the bedside table and regain the bed. That's fine. But is that the problem here? No. That's not the problem.
Oh,
the problem isn't the books.
No.
The problem is the lack of what she's missing is the chats, the laughs and the sex.
Yeah.
And I think that's got really probably very little to do with the books.
Yeah.
that probably existed and then he took up reading.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, is she saying that it's the books that caused it?
Yeah, but like really, no, yeah, I don't know any man who'd prefer to have his head in a history book than...
Yeah.
His head somewhere else.
Sorry. Well, if you read your history books, you'd know that there were men who prefer books. You know, so there you go.
But so I think my advice, you don't ban the books. Don't ban the books. But my, except claim the real estate and get him to be a bit more organised about it. But you need to have a chat about why everything else is missing. Do you know, because it's quite possible to be an avid bed reader in bed and still have sex and chats and a laugh as well. You can do both.
Yeah.
You can have the book after the sex, like as a kind of a treat for having put up the sex.
Oh, no. Oh, well. I wouldn't be able to do it that way. Make the book the hors d'oeuvre after the sex, and sex the main course.
But it's also the way in which, isn't it, there's a way that couples have to navigate about how they get attention from each other.
Sorry, that, say that again,
there's
slowly.
A way that... Couples,
right.
Couples. Sorry, yes.
Yeah.
My dentals are falling out. The way in which we demand and ask for attention from each other is really what's at the center of this problem, is that the woman is walking around going, you know...
Tiptoeing.
Yeah, and getting annoyed because he's occupied now with his new hobby, and she's feeling like that she's missing out on the way things used to be, or not getting what she wants in the particular moment, without speaking the words to say that to him. And she doesn't even need to speak words. She could, there's other ways in which you can attract somebody's attention that don't involve
just take off her pajamas.
Yeah, whatever. But it's not about going, oh, you always have a stupid book on the bed, and you know that becomes a row. Whereas there's a much gentler way of like shutting the page of the book and stuff. I'm telling it myself.
Yeah, exactly.
No, baby, keeps his finger on the word, and then she kind of.
That's a very clear instruction that I go back to my book.
I'm going back to this.
Yeah. But why? That's what I'm saying. I think the book is just by the way, I think the problem is that everything else seems to have vanished. And, you know, like all that stuff, do you know, if you've been together a long time, all that stuff starts to vanish anyway. Like, not completely, but it's not as, do you know, I mean, in the first few years of being together, like it's all great crack and it's all hilarious and it's all great fun.
But
and
I do think there's an issue about history becomes more on attractive. Demand. It's about when it's happening is the thing here. It's like he's doing something. And it's like when your partner's on the phone and you've just put the phone down 2 seconds ago and
just have a chat.
He's always on the phone. Because what you want is you want the attention when you're wanted and it's now.
Yeah.
Whereas they're preoccupied completely legitimately doing something else.
The first thing she's going to do is have a conversation about that then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And just say like, I miss you. I miss the chats and I miss the crack and you know.
And fulfill your conjugal duties.
Duties first,
husband.
And then you can go back to your book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of people advising, give them 50 Shades of Grey and get them to read the Kama Sutra, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, for heaven's sake. People who like reading don't read that below.
Yeah. David says, when you said sitting up in bed with a hard back, I nearly spat my tea out. Keith says, that woman needs to dress up as a librarian and come into the room with a cane saying,
oh my God, you're overdue.
You're a bad boy, you have late fees. That might be one way of doing it. But still, people are texting in about the first question about the fella who looks at other women.
Yes.
I just read two of them. Dermot says, if you let a man be a horn dog, he's going to play up. This lad has no class and isn't mature enough to realise, look, but don't rub my nose in it. He seems to think it's some sort of pass to curb crawl like an excited puppy dog seeing its owner return. Moral of the story, your partner isn't as mature as you thought he was.
Oh, I kind of do agree with that. Right,
yeah, okay. There's a lot in that.
That's telling
me. Somebody else says, I wish my partner would gawk at other women. Sometimes I do it. If I see a good-looking man or woman, I'll tell him about it. And I try to get his opinion. I'm a Pisces and we like to admire beauty and art. Maybe he's a Pisces. Well, I think his Mickey is a Pisces, is what we can definitely say about that.
Pisces woman's husband's probably reading a book.
He probably is, yeah. That's why he hasn't looked. Barb and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.